Welcome to the Brian D. O'Leary Show. This is your home for serious content amidst an unserious world. All right, welcome back to the Brian D. O'Leary Show once again. Appreciate you being here. This morning I had the good fortune to listen to a wonderful podcast. That's what I do. I'm a podcaster, so I listen to other people's podcasts, see if I can learn anything. That's just not only just what I do, but I do. One of the reasons I got into podcasting is because I do enjoy the medium and I enjoy other folks doing their podcasts. And friend of the show, Andy Flattery, who we've had on the O'Leary Review podcast, his most recent podcast was with the hereditary prince of Serbia, who's also into Bitcoin, like big into it. And it was a great conversation. And they talk a little bit about, on their show, they talk a little bit about the value of monarchy, which me, after reading philosophy and political philosophy and all this stuff over the years, and I'm a little hesitant to express my opinion, but if people ask, like certainly I'll say, I'll tell them, but I tend to think, as I believe the conclusion by the hereditary prince Philip, he said that it's probably the best system. The problem is, it can go haywire a lot worse, let's say, than most other systems. So it can be the best, it can be the worst. Cost benefit analysis probably led the United States and other Western countries or states to move away from the monarchical system, but in its idealized state, I want to say that the monarchy, it's pretty darn good. And a lot of libertarians out there will reflexively disagree. A lot of, pretty much anybody of any political stripe in the United States will disagree. And that's why I kind of keep it to myself, and except, well, now this is out to the world and here we are. So anyway, I think I'm not ashamed to say it, but I say that I'm a theoretical monarchist and a practical anarchist. And that spins the tops of a lot of people. But Like I say, quite often, the more you think about my ideas, the more you will agree. So just think about it for a little bit and really dig down it and think about what I have to say. But anyway, I'm going to point you in the show notes to Andy's podcast with Prince Philip, I believe. And it's good. It's a good listen. And you'll get something out of it. And as far as, might as well bring up some more things I learned from this morning from Andy's show, where if I didn't learn them, I thought about them. When I mentioned that failure of a monarchy can be quite severe and the success can be great, but we see the regicide is usually the end of a monarchy, where they believe in the show, he says, the heads of the monarch get lopped off. In our system, you just lose an election and you go back home, or you agitate like Donald Trump tends to be doing. Kerry Lake, even though I generally would prefer those folks had won, but that's the biggest reaction. You just agitate a little bit and, get the other side has an overblown reaction to something like the January 6th, whatever that was. Nothing that big of a deal ultimately, other than the projection by the Democrats, but I digress. Andy also mentioned in the show something about natural order, which I found pretty interesting, because the title of my next podcast is called The Natural Order Podcast, and I do that with my friend Adam Heyman, and I promised or said that we'd be launching here by the end of the month, and the end of the month, as I see my calendar in front of me, is today as I speak. It ain't happening. We're moving toward the goal, and it's just got a lot of things on our plate. I've talked about this book I'm trying to get out to by the end of the week, and I think that'll happen by the end of the day. I'm not really sure how to prioritize that, but I prioritize this podcast for the most part. So here we are. So anyway, yeah, The Natural Order, and it's the title of our new show, and I think you'll enjoy it. We'll talk eventually, I imagine, because I brought it up. We'll talk about, you know, stuff like political philosophy in that show, and, you know, I think Adam will have definitely a different take than I have on monarchy, as we dovetail in our opinions on some things, but we're at odds or loggerheads on others. And I think that makes for a good podcast because, like, again, I say, the more you think about my ideas, the more you will agree. And Adam is very good at explaining ideas himself and what he calls steelmanning arguments, which is essentially giving the other side as much credit as possible. And I believe it's not called this term, but the technique that St. Thomas Aquinas used, where he would present the other side's argument in actually much better way than they could articulate it themselves, and then piece by piece destroy it. And it makes for a good argument. Hopefully I can hold my own against Adam. He's pretty darn good though. And you know, he's been thinking about this stuff in earnest perhaps longer than I have, and we'll probably get into that in a future episode or podcast. But Adam's also part of the leadership of the Nevada Libertarian Party, and they have their own podcast, the Battleborn Podcast. So we're podcasters here. We enjoy the medium, and we there's a lot to it, and we just figure we need more of our opinions out there because I'm not going to speak for Adam, but like I say, I'm going to hammer this line all week this week. The more you think about my ideas, the more you will agree. So there you go. So the theme of our show this week, for the most part, has been failure of institutions. And that is essentially why I brought up Andy's podcast this morning, because it got the wheels turning in my brain this morning about failure. Like he mentioned in particular, like I said, failure of monarchy, failure of institutions. So it's not a failure of monarchy as a whole if one particular polity gets deposed or whatever, or put in exile, like Prince Philip's family. However, it is a failed state at that point. So Prince Philip's family, his grandfather was the king of Yugoslavia at one point, and he got deposed. Not really sure the details exactly, but then Tito, he was around when I was growing up, I believe, pretty sure, if I recall my history and current events back then correctly, but he was still around, I think, because that name. But this had all to do with the specter of World War II and the Cold War to some degree and this, that, and the other. But the Americans and the British essentially backed Tito in Yugoslavia, even though he's if not an outright communist, definitely a socialist. So they were aligned, I believe, with... I always associated Yugoslavia back then as part of the Eastern Bloc, aligned with Russia. But I think maybe at the beginning, it sounded like they might have been aligned with the U.S. government and the British government to some degree. I'm not entirely sure that I would say that the socialist leader of Yugoslavia was aligned with the American or British people. But that being said, but anyway, that eventually failed, right? And the Yugoslavia and a lot of these places in Eastern Europe split up into their constituent parts. So now we have Serbia once again and Croatia, which I would love to go to Croatia. One of my favorite Blazers of all time, a Croatian, played for Team Yugoslavia in Team Croatia over his time, Drazen Petrovic, the late Drazen Petrovic. And he was a fun guy to watch, but he had a tough time getting off the bench in Portland when we had Drexler, Porter, Ainge in the backcourt. And even though he was a phenomenal player and ultimately a Hall of Famer, and it had to do with his international career by and large and his only few seasons, a couple seasons that he played in New Jersey for the Nets. But anyhow, he's from Croatia, and there was actually a famous documentary. I don't know, famous, but one of the first 30 for 30 films for that ESPN did. It was the Serbian Vlade Divac, who was trying to, I haven't seen it in years, but it was trying to reckon, he was trying to reconcile this torn country that he came from, which was Yugoslavia. And it tore into, like I said, its constituent parts. And a lot of his friends were, and teammates were Croatians. And because of that split at that time, right around, what was it, 1990, 91, somewhere in there, because I believe in the 92 Olympics, we had a Croatian team, or not we, but they did in the Barcelona Olympics, pretty sure. Definitely a Lithuanian team. That was interesting. Like, Divac's trying to reconcile his patriotism with, he's Serbian, I'm pretty sure, with the patriotism of some of his teammates who are Croatian. And the one patriotism they used to have as playing as a united Yugoslavia, even though it was Yugoslavia in general was kind of a artifice to some degree, even though it was united, I believe, in the early 20th century as Yugoslavia before certainly the communists and stuff took over. But I think it was Prince Philip's family that originally united them somehow or another. I don't know the history all that well, so I'm not going to opine too much on it. But anyway, it's a real interesting situation over there, and they've gone through a ton over their history. Certainly in the 90s, you can thank Bill Clinton, who I've a lot of animus toward, for destroying that country by and large. And of course, he will do his best to project, as he is wont to do, about whatever the politics internal to the former Yugoslavia made him have to drop bombs on the country, where, you know, again, not within the scope of the United States' natural interest to do that, and certainly not of our people to bomb the innocent people of the former Croatia and former Serbia and so on and so forth. But be that as may, it happened, and it was a propaganda war by and large, and a lot of the numbers were greatly inflated or greatly decreased depending on what side the politics of this people were on. There's a lot more information that you can find out on your own if you're interested in that. But it's interesting to see how the narrative, what is repeated, not what is reported. Even they report false claims, so then that is repeated. That becomes the story. And it's not until, intrepid journalists go in and find out the truth about things that we get the truth. But guess what? It's already been the lies have already been repeated so many times that it's basically baked in the cake of what the quote-unquote news is. And prime example of that is the Penn State Paterno Jerry Sandusky case, which I've had John Ziegler on the program, the O'Leary Review, a few times, or once. And on my old show, Sportlanders, the podcast, had him on there, too, to talk about this. And he's been the one of like three journalists who's really dug into this case and realized that basically the entire narrative that you've been fed is not only untrue or not partially not true, it's total lie, fabrication. And that happens. So I think we need to be vigilant and diligent in what we consume as far as news programs and articles and stuff. And like I said, you just tune in here pretty much every day, and you'll get the straight stuff from me. And like I said, the more you think about my ideas, the more you will agree. And with that being said, I just will point you toward our show notes page, which you can find on our Substack at briandealeary.substack.com or on any of the podcatchers. But if we run out of link, there's a link in the show notes on most of the podcatchers to that Substack page right now. And we're working on, porting all that over to our own website. But right now I just don't have the bandwidth, literally, figuratively, to deal with that website development. Because if you've listened to my shows in the past, like, you know, I'm not a web developer. I'm here for the ideas, and I need to actually contract that out. But just getting to that point is I'm working on it. So anyway, go to the Substack, briandoleary.substack.com right now, or briandoleary.com will get you there too with a link, and you can sign up for our email list if you're not on there already. Get first notice of this book coming out when it does, and our new podcast, Natural Order Podcast. And we appreciate you listening, and have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you later. Brian O'Leary signing off. With old world craftsmanship and meticulous attention to detail, Leatherhead Sports has carved out a niche in distinctive, finely crafted American leather goods. Leatherhead is a premier provider for American-made heirloom quality sporting goods. Their handmade, expertly crafted footballs are their most popular products, but Leatherhead also offers artisan leather baseballs, Naismith-style basketballs, rugby balls, 12-panel 1930 World Cup replica soccer balls, medicine balls in the 14 and 18-pound versions, custom footballs, and other custom balls. The founder of Leatherhead Sports, Paul Cunningham, started the company because his passion was in making beautiful, heirloom-quality sporting goods. Paul says, in a connected modern world, we want to remind folks that the best memories of sports are from when we were young and our sporting goods were made to last. Leatherhead also provides a football repair service for that special football in your life that has fallen on hard times. Maybe that old ball of yours doesn't inflate anymore, or the laces are falling apart. Leatherhead to the rescue. They'll repair it. If the ball no longer holds air, Leatherhead will replace the old bladder with a new butyl rubber bladder. Need relacing? Leatherhead uses genuine, rubberized football lace. And for good measure, they'll do a light reconditioning of the leather for you before it is returned. BrianDOLeary.com/leatherhead.